You are a slut pig!
Hey y'all, I'm Christian Gray Snow, and this is the Slut Pig Podcast, a podcast from The Dip. And today, I am joined by the host of So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, Housewives superfan Ryan Bailey, to discuss Housewives headlines that have had all us Bravo fans buzzing this week. Plus, we're recapping episode 3 of the allegedly sweet 16th season of Real Housewives of Orange County. Small talk is like small dicks, and I'd rather my messy husband send me divorce papers in a language I don't speak than deal with a small dick. Let's get started. All right, everybody, my guest today is a fellow Housewives meme master like yours truly. He is the host of So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, and today I'm going to do all I can to show him that Lisa Rinna is worthy of his praise and not his hate, because quite frankly, I'm fucking sick of his Rinna slander. Everybody, please welcome Ryan Bailey. Hi, Ryan.
What up, Slut Pig Nation? What up?
What up, Prince? Oh, I love it. I love it. Slut Pig on. Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Well, before we get started with this week's Housewives headlines, I always like to start off with, you know, like an icebreaker question. So I'm going to serve you with the same question I served my guest last week, Amy Phillips, because I thought it was a good one. All right. So which Real Housewife, dead or alive, aka currently on a cast or not, is on your shit list this week, and why?
Okay, you're gonna hate this. Lisa Rinna, we know she gave COVID to that entire cast, Christian. Do not, you know she did. You know she did. And I'm Lisa Rinna. That's my Lisa Rinna.
You're an awful person.
Oh, you know what? I mean, no, Lisa Rinna, I mean, Lisa Rinna is just perpetually on my shit list. Other than that, I got to tell you, you have actually almost convinced me to dislike Lisa Vanderpump.
Oh, well, I'm doing my job.
I will say you have affected me in that way. But also, I think this season of Vanderpump Rules affected me in that way, where I'm okay. Like, she's not really necessary. Lisa Rinna, though, it just seems to get worse and worse. I don't know. That it's so ingrained in me now that I don't know if I could ever break free from it.
I love it. I mean, kind of how I am with Vanderpump, to be quite
exactly.
honest.
Exactly. These things are part of our DNA at this point, you know?
I love it. Well, speaking of Beverly Hills, there have been a few Beverly Hills Housewives headlines that have had us all talking this week. First, like you just said, COVID did shut down production on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Season 12 after Garcelle, Rinna, and Erica all tested positive for COVID-19. Let this serve as a reminder, everyone, if you are listening, COVID is still very fucking real. Get them vaccines. Get them boosters. I'm getting my booster this weekend. I'm ready to be down for the count. I'm going to be in bed with my girls from Miami and Peacock, and we're just going to chill and ride it out.
I watched the first two episodes. Amazing of Miami. Amazing.
Oh, I can't wait. I only saw the first 5 minutes that Bravo put out, and like, even though nothing happened in those 5 minutes, something about the energy, and you could just tell that the editing, and they just get it. They get it.
And
you know?
Mama Elsa has a voiceover in the beginning, and it like wells you up. Like, it's so good.
It was kind of iconic. Yeah, that was so iconic.
But also, for all the people with COVID, I just got my booster. But also, word to the wise, don't go to the People's Choice Awards if you, that's always a good sign you're going to get COVID, probably. That's where they all got it, right? They all went to the People's
it's
Choice.
It's true. And are the People's Choice Awards really worth it?
No, they're not. Yeah, this isn't the Emmys, folks. This is the People's Choice Awards.
Oh my God. Like, we're basically one grade up from like Kids' Choice Awards. You know, yeah. It's not that serious for people.
By the way, I love that the People's Choice Awards, the only people that show up are reality stars and TikTok stars. There's like no literally. Actual movie or musicians. It's like the cast of Selling Sunset, you know?
I love it. The crowd goes wild.
Yeah, oh, exactly. God. I mean, I would go wild, but you know what I'm saying.
Exactly. Well, speaking of season 12 of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, the next Housewives headline I want to get your feedback on is that Kathy Hilton is back and she got that raise that she was wanting from production. So once, you know, our girls are feeling better and are recovered from COVID and out of their quarantine, Kathy will rejoin them to start filming. I'm very fucking happy about this. I want to get your thoughts. What are you thinking on Kathy's return?
I'm ecstatic she's back. I'm not ecstatic she... Try. I mean, who knows? The rumors were she was asking for $2 million an episode, which is just no way. Erica Jane gets $600,000 a year. So there's no way to, I mean, it shows you where the Hilton in her comes in terms of negotiation. But I'm also curious how much the them having COVID played into it of like, does Kathy have to do some heavy lifting this next week and a half? And okay, it seems like most of the season already has been filmed. They've done like a cast trip. They've done two cast trips.
That's what I'm saying. They've been to Palm Desert and Mexico already.
Yeah, does Kathy come on and go, hey guys, anyways, have a great season? Like, what is she left to do at this point, you know? Kathy's a great spice. She's a great addition. I can't wait to have her back, but I'm kind of bummed it's this late in the season. And also, I'm wondering if they're like, okay, fine, we'll pay you your rate, but you're only going to do one episode, you know?
Yeah. So, and that's, like, obviously, I'm ecstatic that she's back. You will hear no naysaying from me when it comes to Kathy being on Beverly Hills. Pay her whatever the fuck she wants. I mean, we all know that they have it. Bravo's got the money. Pay her. However, my concern is that it took this long of negotiations. And my fear is that why are they okay with her coming in this late in the game? And that makes me fear that maybe nothing is going on, but maybe they feel they need her, you know? Like, last season, she was great, but granted and she added to everything that was going on, but there was a lot going on, you know, with Erica and all that shit.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, I don't know, it gives me a little pause. And, like, I ride hard for my Beverly Hills girls. I will all day, every day. They could sit and read the fucking phone book, and I'm going to go on and tell everybody to watch, and I'm not going to talk shit about the episode.
Well, many seasons they have just read a phone book. I mean, like,
and it was fabulous.
Lucy Apple Juice was a phone book reading season. But I mean, I think people like me and you and like hardcore fans wonder why they do these things. The average viewer will just go, oh, Kathy, I like her. But like, I really do. You're right. Like, I want to know what was the trigger that they finally said yes. Kyle, of course, said like, oh, no, she was just filming Paris's show and blah, blah, blah. But I know they all protect each other. I'm thrilled she's back, but I'm kind of bummed it's this late into the season. Like, how are they? Like, I don't know. It's just like she's such a great spice and she's so great in those group scenes as just a little like you can throw to her and she'll give us a great line. And I feel like we might miss some of that in those earlier scenes because she has such a levity to her.
Yeah, like, so that means she wasn't around whenever Dorit was talking about being robbed.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine her saying something dumb as hell about Dorit getting robbed accidentally?
I mean, and then watching her go home and like adding like four extra layers of glass like to like her home, like so no one could get in. Like, that's what I want to watch.
Kathy building a panic room.
I love it. All right. Well, we're going to move over to Real Housewives of Orange County. This week's episode kicks off with Shannon going to her skin person in an attempt to reverse the puffiness her face endured after she injected six vials of filler into her face.
It was seven.
It was five too many, whatever the fuck it was.
and then they showed a picture of her at the reunion. She looked all puffy and like, I don't know, like, wait, like, I've not had plastic surgery yet, but like, don't they like say like, this is too much? Like, doesn't anybody warn you?
My question that I have typed in my notes, first of all, who the fuck told Shannon it was okay to inject that much into her face?
I mean, it's not like Vegas with blackjack, like hit me again. Oh shit. Exactly. I bust it, you know, like.
And the girl that she went to like get it fixed, I'm like, don't tell me that's the same one you went to get it in the first place. I really hope not. She was looking like she went to Terry Dubrow. She looked like Terry Dubrow with that face, you know.
Well, when her with the Vaseline smothered all over her face, by the way, it was an amazing scene. Like, I was dying laughing. It was so comical, but also to admit that you got seven vials of filler in your face and now you're paying to get it removed. It's such a Shannon Bedore thing to do. And how do you marry with injecting that much shit in your face to like her agent, ancient Chinese medicine that she uses?
Hello.
You know?
The first thing I thought about was that she didn't even have fucking Wi-Fi in her house for like 10 years because she didn't want like the radiation. And I'm like, you out here putting six vials of filler in your face in one sitting? No.
She's amazing. This is what makes Housewives, folks, is that like to me, this reads so real. And you might not want to be friends with her, or you might want to, but I think she does make really fascinating TV.
Yeah, she is. She's good TV.
She's at war with herself. She's always at war with herself.
Very true. Noella comes to visit her during her appointment. She opens up and tells us she found out that her husband, who we formerly know as Attorney Sweet James, I'm now calling him Not So Sweet James, okay? He had these tax liens against him totaling about $4 million. Then she finds out 10 days later, more liens are against him and the government is now seeking closer to $6 million in taxes from him. Basically, Noella is joining the infamous group of lovely housewives who are married to asswipes of men, okay? But more to come on Noella and James later. This next scene pissed me off. It was when Gina was telling her boyfriend about everything that was going on with Shannon. And she's like, Shannon doesn't care who she has to destroy in the process to make herself look good. And like, historically, I would agree. But like, this is, and I said this last week and I can't believe it, but I am agreeing with Shannon in this whole like stupid rumor gate that's going on. So before we move on, I want to see, what are your thoughts? Who were you blaming more in this rumor with Nicole versus the DeBros, Gina or Shannon? That came out in the last
episode. I mean, listen, I don't agree with how Gina and Emily approached it at the airport hangar that Heather DeBro lives in. But I do think, I mean, like, Gina doesn't need to go this hard to impress Heather. And it does read a little bit like that. But Shannon historically has done this time and time again. So it's just another thing. I really do believe she lets other people do her bidding in a weird way. And she loves to have loose lips. And let's call a spade is that Shannon is a professional drinker. And I mean that in the sense that she can sort of handle it, but she thinks fun Shannon is when she drinks. And so when people think that, like, they tend to drink more and then they tend to speak more. And I think Shannon, that's the actual real thing. It's not trusting people. It's like she drinks because she can get looser, because you see how tight she is in everyday life. She clenches her jaw. She's always like miserable. And it's sad because I feel like that is going to be a huge section of some sort of season. But yeah, I side with Heather in the fact that, like, oh, I did ask you guys to promise. But at the same time, I mean, come on, you're on the Housewives. You know, at this point, don't trust anyone. Like, you got to be smarter than that. I mean, you know, it's a, like, you gave Gina and Emily a storyline immediately, you know?
Yeah, she gave them the biggest gift they've ever been given as far as Housewives is concerned.
Oh, I mean, Emily had the scene of her life last week with Nicole. Like, I mean, like, really, I was like, where did this Emily come from, you know?
Yeah, because we needed it 4 years ago.
Exactly, kind of, you know? And then,
hello?
I mean, I love that. But like, and then I love her other plot line is, should I let my daughter be baptized in the Mormon religion? Which is like, that's like, whoa, that's like an intense 180, you know?
Yeah, and who would have thought we'd be seeing that on OC, you know, of all cities all these years later.
Well, you know men are bad when you start going like, I like Shane, you know, like, you know, it's like, is Shane getting a PK at it where we start to really like Shane, you know?
Or is just the population of men just progressively getting fucking worse? That as we watch Housewives, man, you're like, they're like, you know, I can deal with it. I can take it.
Yeah, I mean, like, screw, yeah. You don't have to see Shane Simpson billboards everywhere like Sweet James, you know?
Yes. Well, Heather goes to visit Terry and she tells Terry, you know, Shannon texts me about the whole situation. But she also tells Terry she has no interest in reopening the door to a possible friendship with her, using the words, I don't care to adjudicate your behavior over the past few weeks via text, nor do I have time in my schedule to listen to more of your rhetoric. Now, bitch, what the fuck does adjudicate mean? Can I have it in a sentence?
Yeah, I mean, what a way to, like, that's an expensive word, like her house. Like, that's a bit, that's a $1 million word. And she's. Yeah.
Adjudicate doesn't even fit in her house. It's such a big word.
Yeah, yeah, you have to pay to use words like that, you know? Like, but I like that even Terry was like, you're going to keep going? Okay, yeah.
He's like
was,
okay, yeah.
Well, that text message I'll probably use as a monologue to get into Yale one day. Like, it's like a absolutely huge chunk of dialogue. And it really was. Like, it almost doesn't help Heather when she gets like that, because it's like, girl, like, you can't be like, be the common man sometimes, and you just can't do it, you know?
It's okay to be like funny and normal. I have literally never heard that word in my life.
I mean, I've heard it, but just in a movie, but don't out Heather. She's like out Heathering Heather. Like, she's
okay.
Almost feels like she's playing her greatest hits, but like really off tempo, you know?
I'm dying that you said this, because literally the next thing I have in my notes, and I even highlighted it because it's special. It's not just something that came in my head while I was watching. Is it just me, or is the fancy pants judgy wudgy Heather that we used to love a little too fancy pants judgy wudgy? That's like, she's like, and it's so funny. You literally just said Heather is out Heathering herself. You know, it's like she's doing a little too much so far.
I mean, they didn't ease us in. And I mean, that $36,000 party for like 10 people, I mean, that I just couldn't go. Like, I thought it was awesome to see. But then when I found out the price, I got like sick to my stomach. And I think what we yeah. see from Beverly Hills is that, yo, I'm cool with crimes and lying and cheating, but not from orphans and widows. Like, you start to get a weird, like, I want our housewives to be fancy. But when I find out the dollar amount on these things, sometimes in this day and age, it doesn't sit well. So it kind of like you get grossed out a little bit as much as you get impressed. But Heather, like, they just put us in there at 80 miles an hour. They didn't, you know, they raw dogged us with Heather, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Like, at least in Beverly Hills, I feel like a lot of, like, you know, sometimes if Kyle does like her big annual Christmas thing, like, there's like at least like a benefit for it, you know, like the children's hospital.
But even Kyle admitted, she goes, you know, I hope I make money tonight because I mean, it felt like they just like, well, we made $100 after everything was totaled, you know, like
flashback to season one of Real Housewives of Atlanta with Deshaun Snow. She's like, I would love to raise $1 million tonight. And they come out and they raised 10,000. It was because Kim Zolciak's sugar daddy bought her a bracelet. That was the only money they brought in. I literally think production called Big Papa and was like, we really need you to do us a solid. Like, you got to buy us something. Oh, gosh. Noella and Gina go to cryotherapy. And as soon as they finish, Noella yet again decides to mention that she has a fucking sex dungeon. Like, we get it. You have a sex dungeon.
And by the way, that sex dungeon did not look impressive. Like, FYI.
Thank you. Thank you. I can't remember who I was talking to, I guess, a couple weeks ago. We were talking about her sex dungeon. I was like, it literally reminds me of, like, Motel 6, a block off the Strip in Vegas. Like, that's what it's giving.
And it looked cramped, to be honest. Like, it did not look spacious. It looked like the bed barely fit in to the walls, you know? And, like, it looked like cheap satin sheets. I mean, I like my dungeons a little bit more spaced out and
Listen, if we're going to be honest, you know.
it feels like there's not good AC down there, not good circulation. It probably
I feel like Candy needs to open like a dungeon like consultant service and she needs to go and like really revamp her dungeon.
It's like somebody selling a panic room. Candy could do sex dungeons. Of like, yes. You know, over here would be a great place to put the horse saddle. Yeah.
I love it. Well, towards the end of the episode, we see Shannon at home on a FaceTime call with Noella, who has just been served divorce papers from Puerto Rico. She reveals they're in Spanish, but she has managed to figure out what they are saying. And she tells Shannon that not so sweet James has cut off her credit cards, left their home without his cars, clothes, credit cards, anything. Truly fucking wild, if you really think about it. Like, that, like, he literally just up and left his family, like, in the middle of the night, it seems. And I will say, you know, my heart does break for Noella. She already revealed earlier in this episode as well, her 18-month-old son was diagnosed with autism. Then she also revealed the multiple layers of tax issues. And now her husband has, like I said, literally just walked out on them, vanishing, serving papers from, divorce papers from another fucking country. I will say, though, I think that God works in mysterious ways. And if he knew that this was coming, at least she now has an opportunity to lean into what she's doing. And she's sharing her truth. And she's on a platform where that will reward her for sharing her truth, I think. So I applaud her for being honest, you know, despite her life going to fucking shambles in front of the cameras. What are you thinking about all this?
Well, you know, she's dating Randall Emmett now, right?
Bitch, shut up. I'm just... I was pained there for a second. I was like, I hope he's kidding.
No. I mean, like, it really... Noella's interesting because I don't know her from before this. I know her from, like, Bronwyn last season for a couple, like, brief moments. But, like, there's an eagerness you can tell of her wanting to be on the show. And, of course, there's, like, a natural nervousness. And she's like, yes, I want to go to this and I want to be there and invite me here. And that's really mixing with a really crazy time in her life, which I don't think she had planned on. The show works sometimes when you get these people that desperately want on the show and then they're in and then they get stuck. Then they're like, oh no, something really real is happening on this reality show that I didn't plan on happening. So the show is like picking up on, I believe we see something like similar on the reboot of Miami this season. And it's like the cameras just happen to be there at this wild time. We would have seen a completely different Noella, which would have been based around a sex dungeon and otherwise. So my heart does go out for a tour, but what happens when 66% of the reason why you marry someone goes away? Which is probably financial. I know he has a big dong. I know he's like really nice, all that stuff. But guess what? We found out in this life that money is very attractive, you know?
And can be taken away in the blink of an eye. just like
that. It seems like it is. It seems like there's no real money anymore. And the thing is, I'm just curious, even for, like, I still see those Sweet James billboards everywhere in California.
Yes.
So like,
yes.
I want to know, how does this shake out? Like, I'm really genuinely curious.
Does he still have clients in California? Like, what did he do? Like, did he up and vanish on his business too? I'm so confused.
No, I mean, the business has to be so many lawyers, so it's got to be a company. But like, I don't know. I'm curious. I was almost about to Google it, but then I was like, oh, I want to be surprised in the season, you know?
Yeah, yeah, good point, good point. I will say, like you said, you know, it's crazy she joined the show, and then it's like, then her life literally fucking implodes. And it was giving kind of like Kelsey Grammer, Camille Grammer season one, like kind of, you know, he brought her on the show knowing, set her up with like a little something, knowing that he was about to bounce.
Yeah.
That's what it was giving me personally. All right. Well, as I mentioned earlier, Ryan is the host of So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, a podcast that really speaks to all things pop culture. So tell everybody about your show and where they can find it.
Yeah, it's So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. It's through iHeartRadio 5 days a week. I mean, it's all like today we had Leah Black and I got to talk to her. And then last week I got to talk to Ebony K. Williams. And I talked to Jill Zarin recently. And I mean, we do that, but then we do recaps. Like I'm doing a OC recap on Friday's episode, which is just solo. And I do all the stupid, I sound nothing like any of the characters, but I just do stupid voices. And it's really silly. And it's like, my parents will come on. You've been on. You're coming on again. Like, it's just about people that love the thing. I mean, it's like, we hate watch these things, but we love them passionately. And it's these things that other people might think are bad, but we love dearly. And it's like something that we can like, I mean, this is, we take pride in what we love. And I do believe we are what we love. And I mean that in the best possible way. The greatest people in the world are people that love these shows. I mean, you know, we've met the best people because of this. It doesn't matter the color of your skin, your sexuality, any of that stuff. Everybody is so effing cool in this kind of little family thing. We, except for Lisa Rinna. And no, but so it's like pick and choose. There's so much content. So I always just say, pick a guest you like and start there and see if you dig it. And if not, the other thing I say is, and this is for Slut Pig Nation too, leave a review of 5 stars. That's the easiest, quickest thing you can do. And if you don't like something, just move on to the next podcast. Find your bliss, find something that you like. But I think we mainly do this for free. So it's just something that really does help us in the end. And I would say that for any podcast that you listen, it just takes a quick second, you know?
Yep. And you guys, you really have no idea how much it like makes a podcaster's day to just see 1 5-star review pop up that wasn't there the day before, a nice little message from somebody that says they enjoyed an episode. It really, really goes a long way.
And how much it crushes you when you read something completely nasty, you know?
Exactly. And like when I've seen some like couple 1-star reviews from people that before I even was releasing episodes, and I was like, okay, haters, please.
Well, I mean, Lisa Vanderpump does have access to a podcast account, by the way.
Listen, let me tell you, all I know is that when I didn't even have 300 followers on Twitter, and that bitch already had me blocked.
Wait, did you talk to Sutton Strack yet?
Yes.
How was it?
She was fabulous.
Oh, man, why? That's my golden, that's my want. Like, that's the interview I want to get more than anything else, because I just want to know how, if she exists in the real world. Like, I want to talk to her so badly.
And oh, wow. Well, we'll manifest that. We're putting that out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I just want to know if she was cool. So I have to go listen to that episode right now.
Yeah, please do. So we're talking about guests right now, but do you have any upcoming guests that you can tell people about?
Yeah, we're working on the new year. I have somebody from the new cast of Miami that will be coming on. I don't know if I'm allowed to say. And then there's people like, you know, that like, I feel like you are so much better at this. Like, you have a personal relationship. You're good at like, I am very awkward with it. So like, I have now somebody helping me, but it's like, I'll put out feelers and there's like, you know I have Perez coming up that we already did, which was interesting.
Oh, wow.
Because love him or hate him, I think he's such a fascinating part of pop culture history.
Well, yeah, for sure.
Truly.
For
sure. This is a weird, weird one is that I grew up watching Entertainment Tonight and one of the hosts was a gentleman named John Tesh. And yeah. He's coming on and he was a hero of mine as a kid. And it's one of the coolest, weirdest conversations I've had. It kind of goes all over the map, But
I love that.
Yeah, no, it really is. Like, these are the people that I geeked out on as a kid. And now I have like this thing where I'm like, I would love, I mean, it got into religion. It got into all of these things. But then there's like the people that like, I wanted to ask you, is there anybody you wouldn't have on?
Wouldn't?
Is there anybody you would say, I refuse, like, would you, if you got the opportunity to interview Lisa Vanderpump, would you take it or would you refuse it?
Absolutely not. I want nothing to do with her. Her and Taylor Swift are the only two people I'd ever reject.
Wait, are you team Jake? Is that why Taylor?
Oh, I've always been anti-Taylor because I've come from a place where women in country music have vocal ability. Taylor has no vocal ability.
Taylor has no vocal ability?
Do we need to do a comparison?
Who are we comparing it to? Wow.
A kindergartner, and she'll still be outperformed.
That is such an intense take. Oh my God. You said you're gonna come on in the new year, right? So we'll probably start the new year with you. I know Faces by Bravo, but wait, you forgot to mention Mr. Steven Faces by Bravo and Jeff Epstein in last night's episode of the OC.
Oh yeah, I know.
They were getting Botox shoved up their ass. Like, it was insane.
It was great. So Shannon had filler taken out of her face and then Jeff had some put in. It was awesome.
Wait, do you ever get crazy with like, man, I wonder if I could get a vial of Shannon's filler they took out. Like, that would be awesome for a reality show museum. Like, do you ever man, I would love to get my hands on that.
See, I want things like from the past that I watch in like old episodes. Like, I would love like a True Faith jewelry shirt, like from Ramona back in the day. That's like she wore on the. I'm like, if Ramona would sell those ugly ass shirts, she would make $1 million. Like, everybody would buy
them. Why does Ramona's wine not exist anymore?
Hello. I know. I would love to have Vicky's vodka. I want Vicky's vodka just to sit out for display.
Do you know I have Vicky's perfume displayed in my room?
Oh, I have multiple bottles. Yes.
It's like, when you see that at Ross Dress for Less, you do not pass it up. That is
absolutely not snatched. I've even had friends buy it for me. They're like, here, I saw this, you might want it.
I'm like, does anybody have in their wine cellar a bottle of Ramona's Pinot Grigio? Like, does it age with time? Like, does it get better? Like, I'm so curious, you know?
I love it. All right. Well, as we always do to end our chat, I would love if you would play the Rapid Fire Housewives Questions game with me, where we put 60 seconds on the clock, and we're going to see how many of these somewhat fun, but mostly shady Housewives questions we can get through. Are you down?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Here we go. 60 seconds on the clock. First housewife from any city that comes to mind when I say the word bitchy. Go.
Lisa Rinna.
If you could interview any Bravo celebrity, past or present, who would it be?
Right now, it's got to be Sutton Strack. I really want it. I have very specific questions.
I love it. Bravo Leb you used to really dislike, but now you love.
Lisa Barlow.
Oh, interesting. If you could revive any former housewife's business, what would it be?
Ramona's Pinot Grigio. I need it.
Who will spend more time in jail, Jen Shaw or Erica Jane?
Jen Shaw by a mile.
Team Bethany or Team Carol?
Team Carol.
Absolutely. If you could fire any current housewife, who would it be besides Rinna?
Erica Jane, goodbye.
Oh my God.
Go depend on your music. Hey, she's got the music career. She's fine.
All right. And last question, most overrated housewife of all time, in your opinion?
Bethany Frankel.
Yes.
Well, you know, completely agree. She always acts like she said, that's why she can't come back to New York, because she already has a savior complex and she lucked out with certain good, she's good. She adds something, but you can't give that show to her because then she'll always think it's her show for the rest of time. It can stand on its own.
I will throw up if they bring her back because of like what will go through her head. She'll be like, that's right. No.
But also, imagine the sickness of being so wealthy now, and I'm really proud of her, but imagine the sickness to have wealth now and still want to be on that show. That show's true weirdness that I'm like, that just says something, because I'm so proud of what she built and we watched her build it, but I think the time is come and gone, and for her to like smack talk Bravo and Andy at times, I'm not down with it, you know?
And then just think that she can come crawling back at any time and say, I'm sorry, and keep it moving, and then come along with all these demands and know that she's probably the hardest fucking person to work with. Absolutely
And not. Especially when she was supposed to film and she quit the day of. Fuck that.
If any other housewife did that, they would never, ever, ever be even considered to come back. Ever.
Exactly. 100%.
All right. Well, we're ending on a note that we agree on. Thank you so much, Ryan, for joining me today. I hope you have a good one.
Bye, sluts. Bye, slut pigs.
Bye, sluts.
Slut pig nation.
All right, everybody, that is all for this week. Special thanks to my guest, Ryan Bailey, for joining me, and special thanks to you for taking the time to listen today. With the holidays coming up, you know, I'm not one to ask for much, but if you do want to get me a gift, the one thing you can give is to subscribe, rate, and review the Slut Pig Podcast. That would mean the world to me. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. Stay safe and don't do anything I wouldn't do, which means you're free to go be a crazy hoe. Mwah! Besos! Thank you.